compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right. Hour three. It's hard to believe, but here we are. 888-914-9149. You can call that number right now. We'll get you on the air. 888-914-9149. Sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Let's go to Tom in Tucson. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. Say, I have a non-theological question for you. I've got a friend that's finding her way into the church.
Okay.
At least I'm praying she is. And I recommended St. Wilhelmina. Not Sister Wilhelmina, not the modern what's going on, but St. Yeah. Wilhelmina. And you know what? I can't find any information. All I can find is Sister Wilhelmina. So I'm hoping
you
can direct me to an aunt. Well, I think that might be my problem, is I don't... you know what? I can't look at my phone and use you on speakerphone. So I've tried my best, and I keep finding the non-corrupt sister in mm-hmm. Missouri. But, of course, mm-hmm. she's not a saint yet. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to call in and find out, in a modern age of Googles, how do we get around what's current, and how do we get back to what's, you know, Catholic? That's coming out wrong. I'm praying for St. Wilhelmina, too, but... Yeah, I think you know what I need.
I think I do. So let's take a look. What you can do is, for one thing, if you go to the Catholic Encyclopedia online, you'll be able to go to for Wilhelmina. And let's just look it up and let's see if there's an article there. So there is WHI. There is no entry for that. And WI. Let's see. I'm looking. I don't see any Wilhelmina in a W-I-L. So there's no W-H-I and there's no W-I-L. So at best, it seems to me, she's probably, if there was a canonized saint named St. Wilhelmina, then it would be someone who's obscure, or obscure enough to not merit an entry in the Catholic Encyclopedia. So that's one way you can check. Okay.
Probably why I'm having a hard time finding her.
Probably. And then the other thing would be if you went to, you could get this at a library or you could purchase it because they are available. It's a good thing to have. Would be Butler's Lives of the Saints. Alban Butler was the author or the compiler of these Lives of the Saints stories. And it's a very comprehensive. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of saints across the multiple volumes of Butler's Lives of the Saints. So if you wanted to go that extra step, either at the library or if you wanted to buy one, I mean, they're very edifying stories, that would be another avenue that you could take a look at.
Well, thank you. That's and I've completely forgotten about Catholic Encyclopedia Online. It's a good resource. And I just found myself stuck this morning, and then I got frustrated because I'm like, well, how come I can't find this?
I think that's probably it.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you. The tools of research now are so easy compared to how they used to be, that's for sure. 888-914-9149. I have an email I want to read here. It just came in a minute ago, and I'll share it with you from, this is from Katie in San Diego regarding spiritual direction. She says, Patrick, you are so kind and helpful, but sometimes you don't get the reality of the masses. Okay. We aren't Catholic celebrities. I went to my parish priest for a spiritual, I think she means spiritual direction, spiritual counselor. He said, ask the retired priests. And at that time, we had four. I went to each one down the line. The first one laughed. The second said, who told you to come to me? And when I told him, he said, of course he did. Dad said, I'm not sure what that sentence means. I could be dead tomorrow. The fourth said, okay. And then he and the priest didn't get along, referring to her father. Okay, I see what it is. So her father says, I'm 83. I could be dead soon. And the priest said, okay, I'll do spiritual direction. But he and the priest didn't get along too much. And didn't get along. And much too late, he was moved to another parish. So she says, I asked one of the elders of our church, and he said, I don't know what that means, an elder of the church. If it's a Catholic church, are you talking about priests? But if it's not a priest, I don't know who the elders would be. There is no office of elder for laymen in any case. Anyway, so she says, I asked one of the elders in our church, and he said, you can go to the diocese, and they'll give you a list of names of people that you can pay to be spiritual counselors. Finding a spiritual counselor is hard when you're not well-connected. All right, Katie. First of all, please, spiritual direction in the Catholic Church is as old as the hills, and people all over the world have availed themselves of this from time immemorial. You don't have to be a quote-unquote celebrity. I'm not a quote-unquote celebrity. I'm just like you. I'm just a regular guy. And in over the many years that I've had the benefit of spiritual direction, it had nothing to do with what I did for a living, including when I was a young man, you know, and I was working in retail. I didn't have any special status or anything like that. And you just have to do a little bit of digging, and you did, and it didn't pan out, but you keep doing it. You just keep doing it. You don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be well-connected. You just have to be a Catholic who would like to have spiritual direction for yourself, or in this case, your father. And if at first you don't succeed, try again. I mean, it's as simple as that. So I hope I'm not reading more into your email than what you intended, but if your discouragement has led you to believe that this is like a door that's closed to you because you're one of the hoi polloi, and only people who have some sort of special connections are able to get spiritual direction, I mean, this is simply not true. Now, I will grant you that there are those who, let's say, style themselves as spiritual directors. I see that a lot because, hey, I went to a course. And I have a certificate. I'm certified as a spiritual director. I see that from time to time. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a priest who has gray in his hair, assuming he has any hair, but he's got some gray, meaning that he's got some experience, he's got some wisdom, he is sagacious and prudent in giving advice. And there are many, many such priests. Not all priests, I think, would even say of themselves, yeah, I'd be a good spiritual director. Some of them would say, I don't think I would be a good spiritual director. But there are priests who are fine spiritual directors. And I have a feeling that nowadays it's not as common as it once was. So therefore, it may be the case that any given priest who would make a fine spiritual director maybe doesn't have any people asking him for that. So if at first you don't succeed, try again. Now, I have an article. It's really a blog post, but I'm quoting from the work called Spiritual Theology by Father Jordan Auman, A-U-M-A-N-N. He was a Dominican friar. And the article is called Important Qualities to Look For in a Spiritual Director. So what we'll do is we'll post a link to this on the show page. Well, it'll be on Twitter. So check it out there. And you can read this and get his advice on how to go about looking for this. And I'll give you a quick shortcut. If where you live, and you didn't mention in your email, if you wanted to look for a religious order, and there are many religious orders, and of course, I don't know, there's no way to know the quality of any given priest or religious order, generally speaking. But for example, the eastern province of the Order of Preachers, that's the Dominicans, it's their province of St. Joseph. They are well known for their priests being very well trained, very good priests who are virtuous and seeking holiness, and I've met many, many of them. And so that would be an example of where, depending on where you live, you could get in touch and ask for the spiritual direction. I would be very wary of somebody who says, well, here's my fee. I do spiritual direction, she might say, or he might say, and here's my fee. That to me would be a red flag because there's self-interest involved there. And you want your spiritual director to be disinterested. What I mean by that is not disinterested in you or your problems. I mean, that's what he's there to try to help you with, but to be disinterested, to be detached. from you and not seeking anything from you is my point. That's what disinterest means in this context, not seeking anything from you. And if somebody's saying, well, here's my rate, and I charge X dollars per hour if you want to do spiritual direction, well, that is clearly not disinterest. That's somebody who wants something from you. So read this article and don't be discouraged. Keep on looking, and you will eventually find somebody, either for your father or for yourself, who can help you. And it's not to say that there aren't situations in which you can offer, let's say, the priest, I'd like to offer you a stipend. I realize you're taking time out of your week to meet with me. And every single time, in my case, if I've ever offered that, every single time the priest just sort of swatted that down. If no, don't be ridiculous. I'm not going to take any money for this. And that's a good sign, because it's also indicative of that disinterest that you want to find. So the article is called Important Qualities to Look For in a Spiritual Director, and we're going to post it on Twitter. I'll retweet it for those who follow me on Twitter so you can read it for yourself. But I think there's good, helpful advice there. And I'm really glad you wrote to me because it's bringing to the surface a topic that we don't often talk about. Thanks for that. Let's go to Diana now in Montclair, New Jersey. Hi, Diana.
Hey, Pat. I have a question about valid marriages in the Catholic Church. I have a friend who is widowed, and then he got married a second time, which was a non-issue because he was widowed. But he got married at a bed and breakfast, and there was no Catholic priest or deacon present. It was just, I don't know, a friend of the wife's who was a minister or something. And that marriage didn't work out. They ended up getting divorced. And he was telling me that he has to go through the process of getting an annulment so that, you know, if he meets somebody wonderful, he can be free to marry again.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll look into it, but I don't think you do, because in my opinion, I'm pretty sure that wasn't a valid marriage.
You do. Believe me, you do. You're right. It would be, on the face of it, it would be an invalid marriage for lack of form. But even those require the church to say officially that was an invalid marriage. It's still necessary to do that.
Even though it wasn't even a Catholic marriage, I think the minister just got a certificate online or something.
Yes. Yeah, it's still necessary. The church needs to officially declare that this was not a valid marriage before he could attempt another marriage.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I gave good information, and thank you. And
you're
welcome. You do a wonderful job, and know that I pray for you every day.
Oh, I'm so grateful, Diana. I truly am. And just a parting thought before you go. This is, again, as I mentioned earlier in the show today, it's the technical phrase for this, and I'm not a canon lawyer, but I read the literature and I try to keep up with it, is called lack of canonical form. And in a case like that, we might say colloquially, it's an open and shut case. And as I pointed out before, when this kind of issue comes up, it's expedited. It doesn't take the long, voluminous process of gathering testimony and all kinds of other things when on the face of it, it's clear that this is invalid for lack of form. It can be expedited quickly and easily. Parish priests, they know exactly what to do to file the paperwork, but it still needs to be done, is my point.
I see. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're just brilliant at what you do, and God bless you.
Thank you, Diana. I really appreciate those prayers, that's for sure. 888-914-9149. I must say, all of you, and there are three of you thus far, Kevin, Kat, and Carmina, back to back, boom, 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 have all sent me, Patrick, the spelling of Sister Wilhelmina is W-I-H-L-E-M-I-N-A. And I tried it when I looked it up a moment ago, W-I-L and W. W-H-E-L, I think it was. So I've got it. And they say, if you look in this spelling, you will find entries for a Saint Wilhelmina. So W-I-H-L-E-M-I-N-A, German spelling. And the one that's likely to come up is the religious sister who died some years ago, and her body is partially incorrupt, and it seems to be miraculous from what we can tell. She is not a canonized saint, of course, but they're saying that there is indeed, back in history, a Saint Wilhelmina. So thank you, all of you, who so quickly wrote me an email to help me out with that. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let's take a break, and we'll come back to more of the Patrick Madrid Show in just a moment. We'll get right back to your phone calls, 888-914-9149. That's the number to call. And as we conclude our Lenten season and draw near to the Easter Triduum, use this Holy Week to prepare your heart and mind with Close to Jesus to the Last. Every day at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, we'll pause with Father Rocky to delve into the events of Jesus' Passion. All of this is available for you at relevantradio.com. Check out everything we have for Holy Week there. Today, we'd like to thank Viviana, who is listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. That's elegant. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Mm-hmm. Right here on the Patrick Madrid Show. That's where you are right now. Isn't it great? Don't you love it? I do. And Cyrus does too. 888-914-9149. Okay. I've gotten other emails now from people saying, Patrick, it wasn't Saint Wilhelmina. It was Saint Philomena. No. It was Saint Wilhelmina. And I know who Saint Philomena is. The curé of Ars, none other than Saint John Vianney himself, had a very deep devotion to Saint Philomena. Different person. And I understand the spelling. It's not Saint Philomena that he's looking for. It's Saint Wilhelmina. And all the many of you who have called in, or written in rather, with the spelling, and I know there's a religious sister who died some years ago and whose body is, miraculously it seems, incorrupt to some extent. So we're not talking about her either. We're talking about a saint from earlier, a German saint. So I hope that settles the issue. You don't need to write me any more emails because I'm familiar with what he's talking about. Thank you, though. Let's go to Brian in Michigan. Good morning, Brian. Welcome.
Hi, Patrick. I was instructed just to say hi, Patrick, and not anything more elaborate than that. But
Okay.
William means resolute guardian, and Patrick means nobleman, noble one, or senator.
Mm. Well, I've heard that about Patrick, like a patrician. But in any case, what does Brian mean? Do you know?
Well, I was told he's supposed to mean strong or strength or something like that. But
there you go.
The real name is Old Irish, a separate of Hebrew, is B-R-I-A-I-N, and it means priest.
Got it. All right. Well, now that we have that settled, that sounds good. What did you want to talk about?
My stepfather, William, back when Pope St. John Paul II, John Paul the Great, was in office or on Cathedra, he bought me, went to a local bookstore, bought me out. We were in a local bookstore, but now it was a large chain. It's gone now. It's popular among liberals. So he bought me, I came across a small Catholic encyclopedia, and I was looking through it, and I thought, well, I'd like to be a priest someday. I'd like to have a Catholic encyclopedia. And he was so generous. He's such a good, generous person. Mm-hmm. He was a good person who did many good works and gave much money to the church. He always gave plenty. He always helped people get jobs, and he's a very good person. His name is William Ronald Patrick Joseph O'Neill, O-N-E-I-L. And that's quite a name.
So what happened? What happened? You're telling me something interesting here. What happened in all this?
Well, he bought me a Catholic Encyclopedia. I was pouring into the Catholic Encyclopedia. It's just a small one volume thing you keep on a desk. Maybe if you went to college or something. They always wanted me to go to Notre Dame, but I never got there. I'm going to visit Notre Dame, but it's like impossible again. You got to have really good money, really good grades, and connections to get you in. So right. My dad.
So tell me, Brian, what is, I'm sure you have a question there somewhere. What's the question for me?
Well, people who are mentally ill, there's a canonical process where they have to be brought back into good standing in the church. And I was declared mentally ill when I was 17, so I never made it to Notre Dame.
Well, I don't know, and I'd have to do a little checking on this, Brian. I know that there is a sacramental way for you to be brought back into the practice of the faith. I don't know about canonical per se, but the church's canon law does, of course, describe this. Anybody who is a baptized Catholic, and in your case, I presume you're wondering either how to come back to the Catholic Church or are you already back to the Catholic Church?
I don't know if any of my communions or confessions are valid because I don't know whether I was really baptized Catholic or not. I think it was.
Okay, so what you can do on that issue, Brian, is if your parents are still alive or people who were, you know, living at the time you were a child, ask them what church were you baptized in.
That's at Sacred Heart in Dearborn.
Okay, very good. So what you do then is you go to Sacred Heart Parish in Dearborn and you ask them for a copy of your baptismal certificate. And they'll have
it. My mother told me I was baptized by Francis, Monsignor Francis X. O'Brien.
Yeah, fair enough. But I'm just going to share with you an easy way that you can determine whether or not you were actually baptized there. So go to, contact them. You could send an email if you wish, that parish in Dearborn and say, I am told I was baptized there around such and such a time. Tell them how old you are, whatnot. They'll look it up. And the secretary will say, oh, yeah, I see right here there's a baptismal certificate for you. And you can request a copy. And that would be probably some minor fee for that, $5, $10, whatever. She'll email it to you and then or mail it to you, I should say. Then you'll have what you need. So as a baptized Catholic, all you really need to be received back into the church is to go to confession and make a good confession of your sins. Now, if mental illness is involved, as you say, keep that in mind that things that are beyond our own control, that would be one of them. The Lord takes all that into account. So you make a good confession if you haven't already done that. And you bring up any mortal sins that you might be aware of, number and kind, you know, what kind of sin was it? How many times do you remember it happening? Be honest, love Jesus, you're sorry for your sins, you receive absolution, you say your penance, and you're good to go. And that in itself is enough for you to come back into the Catholic Church. You can begin receiving Holy Communion. Now, maybe when you were younger, you received Holy Communion and you were confirmed, perhaps, in which case you would be fully initiated. But even if you hadn't yet been confirmed, for you as an adult now, that would be sacramentally the step you would take. Make a good confession, and then you're in. So I would propose that to you. Now, obviously, there's formation that you can go through, and it would be a good idea maybe check in with your parish priest and say, I've been away from the church for a long time. I would like some formation. What do you think? Should I enroll in the RCIA program? What would you recommend? And he'll give you some good advice. But in terms of what would need to happen for you to be able to resume a sacramental life now that you're an adult, that would be it, Brian. I hope that's helpful to you. God bless you. Let's go now to Donna in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Donna.
Oh, hi. Hi. How are you doing?
I am well, thanks.
Okay. My biggest concern is my son. He was married about 3 years. He's married about 3 years now. Okay. He met his girlfriend 5 years ago. We were very close as a family. He has distanced himself. And really, there's not really a reason.
What kind of relationship do you have with his wife?
None. She won't talk to me.
That's the reason.
Yeah. I know.
You didn't have to say anything else, and I can tell you that's the reason.
I know. I knew it. And because, you know, he doesn't go to church anymore. He had a theology degree. He was raised in the church. And I did ask the priest one time, is that partly why? You know, because I'm not there. I wish I was a bird. But I don't know exactly what's said and what goes on. So
yeah.
I knew this. But thank you for telling me I'm right, in a way.
Well, your woman's instincts and your mother-in-law's instincts, I think, even just from what you said in 30 seconds, I could figure it out. So
we pray.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I try to love as much as I can. And
that's good. And you probably have to put up with the indignity of mm-hmm. your son pulling away from you this way. It's painful, isn't it?
Very painful. And yeah. It is common somewhat yeah. anymore. I'm actually on a Zoom meeting where other mothers are like that. And, you know, I am getting more faithful. So this is testing my faith and I'm getting stronger. Praying the rosary.
That's good. I know it's painful. There are a lot of moms and dads who are dealing with this cross. When your son, your daughter, you love them, you raise them, you want nothing but happiness and grandchildren and togetherness, and mm-hmm. they do these crazy things. I'm assuming that his wife is not a Catholic, right?
Well, she said she was, but I don't see where that could be if you don't want to go to church. And the baby, they had a baby. The baby's a year old. They say after they move, the baby will be baptized. And, you know, my husband
that's
was...
good. Are you invited
she will
to
be
the
baptized.
Baptism?
Oh, we will be. We will okay. be, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this is not, it's not, the door has not been slammed shut, right? There's still some kind of connection or communication.
Well, there was up until about a week ago, and then my son said he needs space. And it just seemed to get worse. It was like... It got worse and worse and worse. It's like I'll call you once a week, and then it's not. He's not calling, and he's texting, and then he's not texting, and then for a week I haven't heard from him. You know, so
I would do this, Don. May I give you some personal advice?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
sure.
I would do this. There's a great song. Maybe you know it from 38 Special. It's called "Hang On Loosely." Remember that song?
No, maybe no. I would if I play it. I probably would say, oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah. If you listen to the radio back in the 80s, you probably remember it. But the message, forget the message of the song per se, but the phrase "hang on loosely" is what I would humbly suggest that you try that. Just relinquish any attempt to try to get in touch with him. Now, if he contacts you, that's great. Pick up the phone. Oh, how are you? Nice to talk to you. Happy to hear from you. So I'm not saying that you would shut any doors, but if you relinquish the instinct that you're feeling, I've got to establish contact. I've got to be in touch. I've got to get a text, got to get a phone call, whatever. In his mind and hers too, that could seem like you're smothering them. Now, I'm not saying you are. You're probably not smothering them. But some people can feel smothered even when they're not being smothered. So one way you can handle this, I've seen it work before, is just withdraw. Don't call him. Don't email him. Don't text him. Don't badger him. Again, you're not doing the badgering. He might perceive it that way. Give him some breathing room. Give him some space. Let weeks go by. I know it'd be painful. Let a month go by, maybe 2 months. Just hang on loosely. And I wouldn't be surprised if once he's had a breather and he feels like, okay, he will then pull more toward you in terms mm-hmm. of being in touch and whatnot. And I realize that may be, well, it'll be counterintuitive because you want to have a close relationship with him. But if he's not willing to do that right now, I think it can only get worse
mm-hmm.
if you don't sort of back away and just let it mm-hmm. cool off for a while. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And for 2 days I cried, but I'm okay now. And I know I'll hear from him someday. I don't think it's that long from now. And I'm just praying for him, and my husband's praying for him, and we all love him, and eventually, I don't know, you know,
he knows
I mean, we have
him.
Our phases in life, right?
Sure. He knows you love him. I mean, this is one of those things, especially when your children grow up and get married and whatnot. We parents of adult children have to recognize that whereas we once, you know, you used to be able to control things when he was mm-hmm. under your roof, you can't control things anymore. And so,
I just want to know every day that he's okay, but I'll know. I'll get a call from somewhere if he's not. And that was kind of like, I just want to know he's okay. You know, motherhood.
You don't want him to feel like you're clinging to him.
No.
After all, remember what Jesus said. This is a great verse here. The word clinging brought it to my mind. Matthew 19. This is why Jesus says that a son leaves his parents and clings to his wife. So in that situation, the last thing that he and his wife need is for someone else to be clingy. And I know you're not doing it. They're perceiving it that way. So hang on loosely. You'll like the song. Just give it a little time and rest, and I think things will get better in due time. Hang in there, Donna. Thank you. This hour is supported by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Join the nation's largest Catholic-oriented credit union and receive $200 when you add a direct deposit. Learn more at NotreDameFCU.com/join. That's NotreDameFCU.com/join.
Real life solutions you can believe in. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Okay, we do it in Mexico all the time, don't we, Cyrus? Hey, by the way, this is true. I have a daughter who will remain nameless, who's getting married. Cyrus, check it out. She's getting married. And guess what kind of food we're having at the reception? Can you guess?
I like tacos.
You guessed it. So no... That's right. That's how I feel. No chicken piccata with green beans and mashed potatoes or anything like that. She said, I want tacos, Dad. You raised me to love Mexican food. So we are having a blowout taco reception with full-on Mexican street tacos made by a Mexican restaurateur. Mm-hmm. It's going to be so good. It's just going to be so good.
I'll keep an eye out for the invite.
Well, you know, there is a head count, so we'll see about that. But at the very least, I'll send you some pictures so that you can salivate. But I just wanted to share that with you and the world for her wedding reception.
Congratulations.
Tacos, enchiladas, muchas enchiladas, as a matter of fact. And it's going to be awesome. All right. Now that I've got that off my chest, I still have to write the big check, though. So...
I wasn't going to
That's
ask.
The painful part. I tell you, tacos aren't cheap, man. 888-914-9149. Pardon me. Let's go to Reagan now in Huntington Beach, California. Hi, Reagan.
Hi, Patrick. Okay, this might be a silly question. This is Holy Week, and my family, we've got 10 kids. We typically spend our Good Friday, you know, Stations of the Cross, watching the Passion of Christ. And then Saturday, Holy Saturday, doing sort of nothing because we're in mourning from Jesus's crucifixion. And then on Easter Sunday, we have, you know, a big brunch or a big family event. And so this is how we've been doing it, you know, as all the kids were little. Well, now I've got a lot older kids and we've got a lot of sports things happening this weekend. I've got a kid in college who's playing baseball and usually we watch it live stream, but he's got games this weekend. And I have another son who's playing in a basketball league at just a Christian church. And so they're going to do a big egg hunt and start their basketball season this Holy Saturday. And it's my baby's birthday, but we're going to, on Saturday, but we're going to push it to Easter because she's one and doesn't know. But
Is that her I just heard in the background?
Yes.
Yeah.
But so should I let the kids go to these games? Should I tell them they can't go to these games? I don't know where to stand right now.
Fair enough. And I understand that you're pulled in two different directions because of the, you know, the profundity of what we're commemorating with the Lord's sacrifice for us. But at the same time, you have life that continues. So I would say, number one, the church does not say that you can't engage in sports activities or do something like that on Holy Saturday. Sounds like that's what you're referring to, Holy Saturday. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. We're trying to like mourn and just be sort of solemn. And so going to a sports event is the opposite of being solemn.
Understood. And that's good because you're seeking to enter into the reality of what Jesus did. That's a good thing. So I don't want to undercut that at all. But in terms of freedom, you have freedom to do the sporting events if there's an unavoidable scheduling conflict. And you can still be recollected. You could be at the basketball game. And I know it's easier said than done. But you could still be recollected in your mind, and you could be entering into that prayerful mindset of what the Lord did, et cetera, and go see your son play basketball or baseball. Okay. So that's the main thing, is that the church does not say, I'm sorry, you can't go to something like that on Holy Saturday. And for that matter, even on Good Friday, I personally, and you're the same way too, we would try to avoid that. And when your kids are little and you have control over their schedules and whatnot, you can control that. But now you can't control it. So you have to live with the reality and do your best. But you have that freedom to do this if you wanted to. You would not be committing a sin, for example, if that's what you're wondering about.
Okay. Yeah, I not so much, I guess, the sin, but just trying to teach the kids about still keeping the holiness of this weekend as they grow up and move out of the house. And so if I start to get kind of lazy and be like, okay, well, we can go to basketball, but we can't go to a birthday party. Maybe just like the thought that's coming through the head. Well, why do we get to go to his game, but we don't get to go to my friend's party?
But, yeah, I understand the tension here, but remember too that they already know. I mean, your older kids. I mean, they know the spirit that you inculcated in them for how to be recollected and prayerful during the Triduum. They already know that because they've lived with you, and they know that in our home this is what we do, and that's an ideal that they can always strive for. But it's not always possible. You know, sometimes you may have to take a trip on Holy Saturday. It's not ideal, but, you know, maybe you deliver a baby on Holy Saturday. And it's not ideal. You'd rather be at home, prayer and whatnot. But sometimes life it just doesn't cooperate. So you do the best you can, but you do have that freedom so that if you were to go to the basketball game or the baseball game, you're not doing anything untoward.
Okay. All right.
That's
very
my
good.
Take on it anyway. Well, God bless you. You said you have 9 children or 10?
We have 10.
God bless you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is wonderful. All right. Well, yeah, thank you. Appreciate the call, Reagan. Let's go to Mary now in Minnesota. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm wondering if I can have masses offered for someone, whether they're living or deceased, who is not Catholic. And is there somewhere in the catechism that talks about that? This was recently brought to my attention that from a friend that she didn't think that we were supposed to do that for people who weren't Catholic because it's a mass. And so I didn't quite understand, and I didn't look into it. But just wanted your thoughts on that.
Sure. So the answer is yes, you can. You can offer the Mass for, let's say, for the repose of the soul of a friend who wasn't Catholic and who has died. You certainly can do that. There are no restrictions on who you can offer the Mass for. It's ideal, of course, if the person is Catholic because, you know, they would have that connection. But Jesus died for everybody. Jesus died for all. And so it doesn't mean that all will be saved, obviously, but the Lord accomplished the redemption of the world by his death on the cross. Not everybody in the world will be saved, but this sacrifice is for all. So I think with that as your biblical foundation, you could say, I want to offer this Mass. And you're referring to deceased people, right?
Well, whether deceased or living, let's say there's somebody who needs you know, prayers, they have cancer or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you certainly
can. I just
can.
Didn't know. And then there was a question of, it was stated that, well, you could do that for a private mass, but it can't be public.
No. And I don't know who told you that. That person seems a little bit scrupulous about such things, but no, you have that freedom to do that.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So is it just for people who are deceased? Or
no.
Like,
no.
Oh, I could do it even if they're living, have masses sure. offered for people. Okay, okay, well, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mary. Glad I could put your mind at ease. Thank you. I know, I mean, I've talked to people, and I know that there can be a tendency to be a little overly rigorous in such things, but I assure you that the church does not say you can't, in essence, it would amount to you can't pray for certain groups of people. And that, of course, is absurd. I mean, you can and should pray for everybody, anybody. And what does it say in 1 Timothy chapter 2? It says, first of all, then, St. Paul says, I urge that supplications and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. For this is good and pleasing to God our Savior, he says. So even just from that one passage alone, and there are others, it says that we should offer prayers, petitions, intercessions, and thanksgivings for everyone. I think that is the best way to look at this. Say your prayers for everyone, especially as Our Lady said. She gave us the prayer at Fatima, O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of thy mercy. So how on earth could we say there are whole groups of people for whom we will not pray? That, of course, that's not what the church teaches. Let's see. Let's go to Dan in Minnesota. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Patrick, and happy Taco Tuesday to you again.
Thank you.
So this reaches back to yesterday's call from the imperfect world of mental illness. So welcome. When Ben called, you know, he was in a deep despair with the suicidal mm-hmm. thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so there were a couple of very good calls of support for him during the program. And also, if I could add to that, they're very, very important to take mental illness is meant to be taken very seriously. And at the same time, life is, like you were saying, the 38 special song, meant to be hold on loosely, but don't let go. So right. I can see him on the bridge of between despair and hope.
Are you calling about Ben's call? Is that specifically what you have in mind?
That's what I have for the moment. I have an outline as far as I myself have dealt half of my life with bipolar illness.
Okay.
And so I know the road of desperation.
You're not feeling that way right now, are you?
No, and I okay. half expected that question to come because of that. Of your level of seriousness and taking it. So, you know, you're so much more, Patrick, than just the form of entertainment for the weak-minded. That was one of the topics that that somebody named Rob called in about.
I appreciate that, Dan. It's kind of you to say so. As I look at the clock, I'm only concerned that we might run out of time. So thank you for the kind words. Did you have a particular thing you wanted to ask about or to say, just so we don't run out of time?
I would like to just stress that, yes, those of those that have been there, so many of us that are survivors of mental illness that are living with it, it's a day-by-day thing. And he's probably just starting to understand Ben. And like Aaron from the week previously. Her too, I could see that in the middle of your conversation with her, I heard her say, I am tired. I'm so familiar with those words. I am tired when a person is there, and I just want to, and I know everybody else is praying and lifting these people up. There's so many more of them today. There's so much loneliness now, and since the brokenness of our world is what it is, to turn away from the levels of negativity, it's not automatic. You can't just turn off. We know that because we
have tools.
Yeah, we have tools that are meant to be shared, that we've learned, the ones who have been there. So I want to welcome you. There'll be so many people who even grew up Catholic and strong in the faith, and Christians who more and more are meeting people or have people in our families.
Yeah. That's a beautiful sentiment,
who,
Dan.
Who know mental illness, and we'll be turning to trying to keep our candles lit, pierce the darkness. And if we do that, then more and more candles will stay lit, and the darkness be vanquished.
We're working.
We're working through Holy Week, and this is the time that, you know, the bad guy is extra busy, the bad guy and his buddies, and the victory goes to Jesus. And so
you're right. Well, I'm glad that you raised this issue as we get right down to the last few minutes of the show. There are plenty of people, as you say, who are struggling with this cross, and it's good to be reminded of that. And we should think about them more often. So I hope you're having a good Holy Week, Dan. I hope your Lent has been a good one. And as you say, the victory of Jesus is right around the corner. We remember that victory on Easter. So thank you for joining the conversation today, Dan. God bless you. And happy Easter. That's an early happy Easter, but let's see. Let's go to Jaime now in San Antonio. Hello, Jaime.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for your call. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I have one question in 27 parts.
Well, we have less than 2 minutes, so how about just give me the the essence?
No.
I get it. You were joking.
A very dear friend of mine is returning back to the church. And he's a very learned man, and he's going to receive 4 of our beautiful sacraments this coming Saturday. And just wanted to get your advice for somebody that's very well educated, but a gift to give them to welcome them back to the church. What would you recommend?
Oh, great idea. So I would recommend a Catechism of the Catholic Church. That would be a good compendium, so he can, if he's learned, he will appreciate that. I wrote a book, if you're interested. It's called Now What? A Guide for New and Not So New Catholics. So it's my way of welcoming someone like him into the faith and saying, okay, now that you're here, let me explain to you what all these different things are going on in the Catholic Church. So it's sort of an overview of, once he's in, what can he expect? And now what? What does he do next? So you might want to check out that
book.
Where am
I definitely supposed to get it?
Definitely the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Any Catholic bookstore worth its salt will have the Catechism. And I hope that they also have my book, Now What? If you look online, you'll find it there as well. Now What? By Patrick Madrid. There are other books by the same title. You want to get the one that I wrote. Thank you. Until tomorrow, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. Now.